State of Cummings versus Warden Davenport.
Mr. Harmon?
Yes, sir. May it please the court.
My name is Bart Harmon.
I represent the appellant in this case, Warden
Carter Davenport.
Qualified immunity is all about protecting the discretionary decisions of government officials when the law does not provide guidance.
Well, tell me this. Let's say that the decedent here had a living will. Okay? Would the warden have followed it?
It would make the case much more problematic.
No, simple question. Would the warden have followed a living will?
Judge, can I answer the question? It's not in the record. I think it presents much more problems.
As a matter of law, would he have been obliged to respect it?
A strong argument could be made.
And I say really? What's that argument?
That is the argument that Alabama law has for hundreds of years stated that the warden, under the authority of the commissioner, has legal physical custody over inmates.
Okay, that's true. But there's an act that was passed by the Alabama legislature that basically provides that any adult, I don't see an exception for prisoners, can execute a living will that would have to be respected. Is that right?
It very well might have been, Your Honor. I'm just saying an argument could have been made.
An argument could be made. Would it be a frivolous argument, though? I mean, so tell me what in this act, in the Alabama Natural Death Act, makes an exception for prisoners and wardens.
There is nothing on his face, Your Honor.
That's pretty bad for you.
I understand, Your Honor. However, that act has never been applied. There's no case law talking about its application to wardens.
And it certainly is running in contradiction to the well-established, very profound statutory and case law saying wardens have the decision-making authority over this. So I'm just saying a case could be made.
Here's a statute that at least on its face to me seems to be comprehensive as to end-of-life decisions. What you do when there's a living will, what you do when there's not, covers any adults, provides for who can be a surrogate, provides for the possibility of the appointment of a guardian, provides for family members in the hierarchy. I don't see anything in there that includes a warden or creates an exception for prisoners, or that suggests that a warden has the discretionary authority to make an end-of-life decision for a prisoner when the warden hasn't been appointed to be a guardian and the warden isn't a relative.
I absolutely agree, Judge, on his face within the statute. I'm just saying there's another statutory scheme that addresses this very unique relationship of custody.
A statutory scheme that says that the Department of Corrections is responsible for paying for the medical care of prisoners?
That's one aspect of it.
I mean, I don't see where that gives any discretionary authority to warden to make an end-of-life decision.
Well, with the very fact, Judge,
which the best statute you have that would say that the warden's authority overrides
the plain terms of the Alabama Natural Death Act?
The best I have statutorily, Judge.
Statutorily.
It's just the 14.3.1, the general custody, and then the statute you mentioned just a minute ago on the responsibility.
For payment, to pay for the medical services.
But Your Honor, those statutes have been construed for many years to give the
The warden has a constitutional obligation. The state has a constitutional obligation to provide adequate medical care to inmates.
Absolutely, Judge.
Okay, so I don't know that those statutes really have anything to do with it, but we have a specific statute under Alabama law that, at least on its face, seems to me to be clear. I don't see where there's any ambiguity about this.
We have a specific statute, but it applies generally to citizens.
And like in many...
It doesn't say citizen. It says any person.
Well, you're not arguing that statute doesn't apply to prisoners, are you?
I am, yes, Your Honor. That statute is in contradiction to the statutes that give the warden custody and control over medical decisions. Let me give an example. The First Amendment applies.
You need to go back to the legislature if you want the Department of Corrections to have that exception, because they passed a law that it does not provide that exception.
Well, Judge, I respect what y'all are saying, but I don't think I have to win this argument to win qualified immunity.
Well, you have to show that he's acting within his discretion.
Well, exactly. You know, and
he has to have discretionary authority. There has to be a source in Alabama law for that.
Yeah. Well, Judge, but it's only construed, this court has said, in broad terms.
This court and courts should not be overly narrow on hyper-focusing on this one aspect.
So am I being overly narrow and hyper-focused on an act passed by the Alabama legislature that it purports to apply to any adult and that has not a single exception or a hint of an exception for prisoners and wardens?
Of course not, Your Honor. I was referring to my good friend and our friend, Judge Ott. He focused too much, and the case law backs him up, backs our position up, Judge. This is supposed to be a small hurdle to overcome. One court referred to it as almost an invisible burden. So I think it is, Your Honor.
You know, the typical case, you're a police officer, you arrest somebody. Everyone knows police officers have the discretionary authority to arrest individuals who they think have probable cause. There's probable cause to believe that they have committed a criminal offense. That's right. I mean, I can't tell you how many cases of qualified immunity where we blow past discretionary authority, because discretionary authority is clear. Your problem here is I don't see where your client had any discretionary authority at all. I don't see any provision of Alabama law that gives the warden of a prison the discretionary authority to make an end-of-life decision for a dying inmate.
There is no specific authority. It's general in nature.
Not only is there not any specific authority, there's an act. An Alabama Act comprehensively regulates who has that authority, and it does not provide any authority to a warden.
I agree. It does not address this custodial relationship. But, Your Honor, the very fact that...
You seem to question in your brief whether the discretionary authority prong at all is grounded in any requirement of Supreme Court precedent. That seemed a very odd proposition in your argument. I mean, you can go back to Harlow versus Fitzgerald from the time that the Supreme Court of the United States has recognized qualified immunity as we currently understand it. They've always referred to discretionary authority, haven't they?
Yes, sir.
That term does. I didn't mean that to question in the brief. I do think it has been downplayed in this circuit's opinion and in many district court opinions from this circuit. But as you know, for a long time, the U.S. Supreme Court said the real focus used to start with whether there is a constitutional claim at all. And if the plaintiff...
It seems to me, though, that if you have no discretionary authority
We don't get to that question.
Judges,
so, I mean, the immunity question is a qualified immunity question. The only reason you can get up on interlocutory appeal and raise the seriousness of immunity from suit, this is not immunity from liability, this is immunity from suit, is because of this proposition that you were exercising discretionary authority, that if you can't even meet, that's the one thing you have to establish. You have to establish your client was exercising discretionary authority. Then the burden shifts to the plaintiff to show that he has alleged a constitutional violation that was clearly established. We haven't even gotten to that point because I don't see where you satisfied your threshold burden.
Okay. I respectfully disagree that the discretionary function is required on the, I would say, the first step. The first step is there a constitutional claim stated? I do agree that before you get to clearly established, you have to show discretionary.
Yeah, well.
Is my time, I got 30 seconds.
I would like to ask you one question in regards to what the 1983, the wording where it says every person who under color of any statute, ordinance, regulation, custom, or usage of any state. What is the distinction of the case law between acting under color of any statute, and scope of authority?
You know, I've never tried to marry those two terms.
Well, the 11th Circuit has. They've clearly said that before you ever even get to 1983, you the burden was on you to show that he was acting within the scope of his authority, and that's the questions that you've been at. My question to you, in looking at other circuits and everything, what's the distinction between acting under color of any statute versus what is acting under scope of authority?
The way this circuit has construed color of law, it means in total absence of official capacity. There's a case from this circuit where an officer, first he knocked on the door and wanted to gain entry, claiming, "I'm a police officer." She would not let him in. Then he busted the door down and raped the lady, and they were sued under Section 1983. And the court, 11th Circuit, held that wasn't color of law. If she had let him in, claiming to be a police officer, which he was, that would have been color of law. But when you bust the door open for this improper purpose, that's not
my question is going to, under the warden, who's been obligated by custom and by Alabama law is to provide a constitutional medical care. I don't seem to find any other cases where talk about the death part of it. Where does his discretion lie there? And have you gotten any other circuits?
There's just no
case law, I think it's accurate, anywhere I can find that addresses
The 11th Circuit, you're in a bind with what the 11th Circuit has said.
I would transfer that burden, that there's no case law actually helps me, but if I can just take 1 minute to respond and then close.
You've gone 2 minutes over. You've said quite enough.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to give you 4 minutes of your rebuttal time. Mr. Bailey, you want to speak to us?
May it please the court, my name is Matthew Bailey. I'm here on behalf of Marquette Cummings Jr. I would like to start off with what the state has been essentially arguing the whole time, that we have not stated a constitutional violation.
We don't get to that, do we?
No. I don't think that we necessarily have to get to that, but I would like to.
Why do you want us to go and talk about that if we don't get? Don't we have to do discretionary authority first?
Yes, Your Honor. And I do actually have some additional information that I would like to address to the court in regards to discretionary authority. There is no case in the 11th Circuit or in the Alabama Supreme Court that has addressed the Alabama Natural Death Act. However, there is a Court of Criminal Appeals case. It is Files v. State, 826-SO2D-906. And in that case, they specifically state the Alabama Natural Death Act contained no provision permitting a caretaker to withhold artificially provided nutrient and hydration.
What's the context of that?
I believe it was a judicially appointed individual to care for a person who had Parkinson's. And the Court of Criminal Appeals rightfully found that there is no provision allowing them to withhold medical support without following the rules
of the Natural Death Act.
Yes, of the Natural Death Act. And I don't want to belabor my point. I would like to answer any questions that you have about the that you might have for my briefs. But
you have any?
No.
You have any? I don't either, Mr. Bailey. Thank you.
Your Honor,
back into the arena, Mr. Harmon.
I'm glad you brought up that that speech, because the warden of all people like him, he's the man of the arena. Somebody's got to be the man to make decisions without being second guessed. A case, I think 4 years ago this happened. He's being submerged into litigation.
He could have let the mother make the decision.
Your Honor, that is a problematic as well. I mean, in this case, she's there. What if she's not?
I think the law allows her to make the decision.
I guess the question, Your Honor, respectfully, would be, do we have a burden to go and search for relatives? What if they
disagree? If the warden wants to make that decision, he needs to go get an appointment as a guardian.
Yeah. Judge, if I can just address it in general, that this question, which has become the huge question in the case, like this, Harbert International.
That case really
doesn't apply.
It defines how we are supposed to look at this discretionary function analysis,
and it talks about
it's a contract that granted the state of Alabama to withhold payments to a contractor who built the Cochran Bridge. I remember it well. I was in the Attorney General's office at the time. It doesn't have anything to do with a warden making an end-of-life decision in the face of a comprehensive act that gives him no authority to make that kind of decision.
Absolutely about the facts. The reasoning, however, and the language fit. If I can just read this one sentence. There the court stressed, when a government official goes completely outside the scope of his discretionary authority and therefore ceases to act as a government official and instead acts on his own behalf. Now, in this case, was the warden there in a private capacity?
Is that a factual question for the jury?
No, sir. We can look to the complaint.
Because there, the complaint describes.
This is this is brought under a 12B6, right?
Yes, sir.
So under 12B6, we take the complaint as it's stated, and he says that he's alleged that it's under color of state law, I guess. But is it not a question for the jury then? Was he or was he not, on the basis of what you're getting ready to argue to us? A question of fact.
Respectfully, no, Your Honor.
Because I'm taking the facts as alleged.
So you want us, in an opinion, if we say that it's a question of law that would forbid you from raising this issue in the trial court below, if you lose, that's what you want in this opinion?
No, sir, because the facts could change in discovery.
But what I'm saying is, this is key here,
They allege that the UAB doctors and medical personnel and hospital authorities went to the warden. Why?
Because he's the warden. Because he's
when the inmate got to the university hospital, the warden had told them no heroic measures. That's what the complaint alleges, right?
Judge, I think that...
And we take that complaint as true.
Absolutely true, but I thought the complaint said they before they warned him involved, they told him no heroic measures. Later on...
Yeah, then they might... No, oh, imagine that. Then they start going back to the warden. I don't know what that means. I don't know why you think that helps us resolve this case. Right. I mean, Mr. Harmon... I don't see where you have pointed to us anything in Alabama law that overrides what the plain language of the Alabama Natural Death Act says.
And if I respond to that, and I'll be through.
And I understand what the court is saying, but I think
based on the jurisprudence from this circuit and Supreme Court, you step back a little bit and you ask, are these normally the decisions healthcare, provision of healthcare that wardens make.
And life or death? Mm-hmm. Life or death? That's the decision that the warden gets to decide? He gets to decide, live or die?
I used to come up
to the Attorney General's office at midnight when the warden was making a decision about someone who died that night. But that was because there was an execution order from the Supreme Court of Alabama. That's what gave the warden that authority. That's the only time that I was ever aware that the warden had the authority to oversee the death of an inmate. That's a pretty serious matter, isn't it?
Yes, sir. May I respond?
Yeah, you get 15.
Okay. Yes, but in this case, the UAB medical professionals had already told us
Now we're getting into proximate cause and a lot of other things that don't have anything to do with qualified immunity and why we're here, Mr. Harmon. It may well be that when this case goes back to the district court, which it will, you will prevail for other reasons. But one thing that I don't think is that you've given us any reason to think that the warden had any discretionary authority.
Thank you.
We are in recess until tomorrow.
All right.